Michael Avery with Classic Business.
Well, it was a fairly quiet day on the markets, as globally most markets see a bit of profit taking ahead of the Easter long weekend. We wound up slightly up on the day. Looking at my screen now, up, well, not too shabby, 0.5%, 59,222 points on the Aussie. The top 40 up 0.59% at 52,872. The rand weakened a little bit, though, breaching that 14 rand to the dollar mark. We're at 14.07 at the moment. And gold pretty much steady as she goes at $1,275 an ounce. I've got Chantel Marks, Head of Equity Research at F&B Wealth and Investments, and Rowan Williams of Nitrogen Fund Managers with your pre-Easter view from the markets. Guys, I'm keeping you from your long weekend, so thanks for your time.
It's only a pleasure. When I agreed to come, I did not actually know it was a long weekend. So.
Easter moves around like that. It does sneak up on one. Chantel, what's the mood in the markets this Thursday ahead of that long weekend?
Well, the market actually opened slightly weaker in line with Asian markets, which in turn followed on from a weaker close on Wall Street. But we saw some really good support come through for the retailers after yesterday's Clicks results and also a better than anticipated trading update from Massmart. So most of the retailers actually did quite well on the day, particularly in clothing retail, as well as, as I mentioned, pharmaceuticals and general retail. And then the rand hedge stocks actually did quite well for most of the day because of a slightly weaker rand. But British American Tobacco ran out of a bit of steam towards the end of the day.
Ran out of puff, did British American Tobacco. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, the Americans want to now push up the smoking age in the US to 21. So another thing that American, let's call them late teenagers, cannot do, but they can drive.
Young adults, I think they'd like to be called.
Young adults, not old teenagers.
They can drive, but they can't drink and smoke. Go figure that one. Rowan Williams. Talk to me about the retailers. We had the retail sales numbers out yesterday, slightly better than what the market had anticipated on the back of another good performance by Clicks. Really is just Mr. Reliable is Clicks, with Mr. Ramsunder picking up where Mr. Neil left off over there. Is this a sign that the market's saying perhaps we've been slightly too bearish on South African retailers and South African consumers are perhaps better placed to start spending, especially I want to call it the new year, but into the post-general election period, which everyone is looking forward to?
It does give you an indication of how important the milestone is, that it almost feels like a fresh start. So I think, yes, people are looking forward to sort of post-election reality and potential economic environment. And I think, yes, some indication that maybe the market and participants have been a bit too bearish on the outlook for the South African economy, the South African consumer. We have seen Clicks leading, I guess, with really strong numbers in a difficult trading environment otherwise for retailers, and I guess buoyant sentiment generally. And I think we have seen some positive comments out of various brokers that they're expecting the elections to go well and there to be more market-based reforms. And I think so the market taking a geared view of that and a bet on the South African consumer is one way to do it through the retail stocks.
We're up 11% year to date. So trying to put that annus horribilis of 2018 firmly behind us, Chantel. Well, we still have some way to go, though. Looking at Asian stocks, they've run quite hard this year already, I think up around 30%. Is there much more room for growth this year in Asia?
Yeah, I mean, if you see what Asian stocks did last year, you could argue that they have some way to go in order to get back to the sort of valuations that we saw at the beginning of last year. Added to the fact that high frequency data out of China is looking a lot better, and it seems as if the odds of a China-US trade deal being signed before mid-year are actually now quite high. So perhaps a bit of a couple of tailwinds helping the Asian markets at the moment. And then, I mean, apart from the US, most global markets actually don't look that expensive, including the local one, which is probably why we still have some room to go locally, should everything play out the way the market wants it to play out on May 8th, which I'm still not 100% sure. I'm still not 100% sure what exactly that is.
Yeah, well, what is going to change? I think some people suspect that because the president has had to unify a very fractured party, he's playing the long game, and we'll see a much firmer strategic move post the election to clamp down on some of the frat apples on that list, and also some of the market reforms that we'd like to see in terms of reducing the size of government, the bloat there. But you can't just wave a magic wand and fix Eskom, for example. There are still some very big structural problems that don't go away just because we've had another general election.
Yeah, absolutely. I think at this point in time, it's more about intent and the way that it's expressed. So if you are going to talk about Eskom, talk about renewables. If you're going to talk about Eskom, talk about making it easier for independent power producers to enter the grid. Just make it easier for the country to continue working while Eskom isn't working properly. And there you already have a few gains. And you can work on the big Eskom issues over time.
And it is all about intent. I think that is why the market is willing to give the president the benefit of the doubt. J.P. Luntman wrote a very interesting piece about how long the wheels of justice take to turn. We haven't seen anyone in orange overalls following the German investigations into Steinhoff. These things do take time, and those who've been implicated in state capture hopefully will have their day in court. And I really think for the market to believe that we're going to see the kind of reforms that led to a Brazilian-type clean up operation car park type effect, we're going to have to see people spending time behind bars. Rowan, let's talk about US earnings season. For me, it's been an earnings season that's painted mixed signals about the health of the US economy. And I mention health advisedly because the health sector in particular has taken a huge whack thanks to Bernie Sanders and Medicare for All. What do you make of that? It just sounds like nationalization.
Yes, yeah, so I guess something that we're a little bit familiar with here in South Africa talks of national health insurance, and it shows that, yeah, it's not only South Africa that has these issues and how they impact particularly large industry like the healthcare industry and also the insurers of the healthcare industry. So I guess it is quite negative. It does show you that health, and I guess globally, is becoming more of a political issue. So not only the providers, but also the insurers are becoming more regulated. And it could, the sort of worst case scenario, destroy entire industries. And that is what the market seems quite concerned about, that insurance being regulated away and it became a government good. So, yeah, that particular sector has been quite hard hit. Some other numbers out of the banks a little bit better from the earnings perspective, and we also saw near the close this evening, South African close, some very good retail figures coming out of the US. So other parts of the US economy actually quite strong at the moment.
Is that your reading, Chantal, of US earnings so far?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are two factors, main factors at play at the moment. So one of the kind of negatives for US earnings season this time around is the fact that the market has re-rated so far this year. So P's are looking a little bit stretched. It's more expensive than it was in the fourth quarter. But expectations were so low at the beginning of earnings season. The hurdle rate for beating expectations really is not that high. I mean, the market was actually looking for a 4.3% contraction in earnings for the quarter. So far, comfortably on aggregate, the S&P 500 is beating that very diminished kind of expectation, and we still have the growth stocks to come. So one of the things that we've seen, though, and this has come through from the fourth quarter as well, is we're seeing mostly earnings beats. We're seeing more than 50% revenue beats, and by that I mean more than 50% of companies actually beating on the revenue line. But they're still so pessimistic about the future. They're still quite negative, and that's why you haven't really seen the market react too positively to some of the big beats, including a Netflix, for example.
And we've also got some interesting tech growth companies coming to market. We've had Jumia, and that story has been fantastic for Africa. We see Pinterest IPO raising almost $1.5 billion. It doesn't call itself a social media company. It says it's one of the last safe spaces on the internet. I've never seen anyone slagged off on Pinterest. Probably about right. But it always worries me when you see these kinds of tech businesses come to the market at the back end of a very long, tired bull. Funny things tend to plop out.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the kind of three main big new listings over the last few weeks, I'd say Lyft, Uber and Pinterest. Lyft and Uber, I found, I actually couldn't believe they were able to raise any money. I mean, the Uber CEO actually said he doesn't know if the business will ever be profitable. Pinterest is a little bit better. I mean, I had a look at the numbers very quickly, and in terms of its percentage of its loss percentage relative to its revenue number, it's actually a lot smaller relative to a Facebook by the time it listed, Twitter, Snap, and much smaller than an Uber and a Lyft. So it just looks like its prospects are a little bit better, and it is a bit different. So perhaps they could take a little bit of a cut out of Facebook and Google's dominance in the ad market.
Well, there's one to pin to your board. Chantel Sassel's production and sales numbers, nothing too exciting in this one. What caught your eye?
Yeah, not at all. I think Synfuel's still recovering from that Secunda shutdown or prolonged maintenance on the Secunda plant, but it is starting to get there. But chemical volumes are really disappointed relative to expectations. And base chemical pricing was a lot weaker than anticipated. I mean, chemical pricing and oil pricing isn't one for one, but they do tend to move together. And the oil price moved up quite handsomely, while chemical pricing kind of lagged behind. And then one of the things to just watch out for, yeah, they say that LCCP or their Louisiana cracker is very close to completion, but it's now tracking towards the upper end of estimates when it comes to the total CapEx spent. So that would have been a little bit of a negative one for the market.
When is the last time we had a very expensive CapEx go absolutely right, on time, on budget? I can't remember. Certainly reminds me of Minas Rio, of in the state sector, Medupi and Casile. We just see it so often, time and time again, yet shareholders allow management teams to go on to these jaunts. To move on, we've seen something interesting in the telecom space as well, that the telcos have really had a good week. MTN and telecom shares in particular, obviously specific stories around MTN and what's happening with Jumia. Telcom is another interesting one, and I think Vodacom has also been up this week. A lot of talk in the market about a potential auction for government to raise some money, auctioning spectrum. Have you heard anything about that?
I've not heard anything around that, apart from what the president said about a year ago around quick wins. So we haven't really heard anything specific around when an auction is going to take place. But obviously, any sort of rumor around that would be very positive for these companies, particularly for a Vodacom who have been desperate for spectrum.
Rowan?
Yeah, so it does seem there was some allusion to it in the budget speech. So, and again, I guess this goes back to our comments earlier about the outcome of the elections, and I guess a lot of these sort of log jams, things that haven't really been done, decisions that haven't been made, policies that haven't been executed, hopefully will start to flow. So I think there is some optimism growing about a quick win, an early win, both in terms of the spectrum auction, which will be good for the telcos and I guess also good for the economy and good for the South African fiscus. So it's a win-win and it's a no-brainer. So you would hope they would get on with it post-election.
South32 came out with its quarterly report today saying net cash was up by just over 720 odd million US dollars from 48 US million dollars. And it's a big but. Coal companies are under the cosh at the moment. Yes, we still rely quite heavily on coal, but there's a big story today about a major bank in, was it Singapore, I think, saying it's no longer going to be funding coal. We've got Standard Bank here saying it won't be funding the independent power producers, Thabo Metsi and the other one. Is the coal space starting to really look uninvestable from your vantage point, Chantel, or is this a longer-term story?
Well, definitely longer term, but I mean, I think the kind of coal cliff or so-called coal cliff is still some way out, and certainly from a South African perspective, we're still some way out from actually being at a point where we can fully electrify ourselves using renewables. We still require additional battery capability, and also in some of the larger emerging markets, the reliance on coal is still quite significant. So even though longer term, it seems as if the mines will be less viable, it's a similar scenario to coal, to oil. Longer term, sure, but it's going to take a while to get there.
Rowan?
Yeah, so I think it's somewhat in vogue, obviously, in terms of companies to appear green. And I guess you could argue from a longer term perspective, as Chantal points out, they may not have a very long term future. But I think you are seeing some contrarian views. For example, Afrimat has put in a bid for a coal mine.
Yeah, Universal.
So they kind of betting on the future of coal in South Africa, and I think the forecast that you've seen at least until 2025, coal is going to be the main source of electricity and energy for South Africa. So in the short to medium term, I don't see coal going anywhere, and I think it is still a viable investment.
Andries van Heerden, an astute deal maker there, and that Universal Coal transaction looks very, very interesting. Rowan Williams, director at Nitrogen Fund Managers, and Chantal Marks, head of equity research at F&B Wealth and Investments. Have a super Easter, guys. Thanks so much for sharing your view from the markets.